involved in R&D, they're involved in training, they're involved in skills development.
Oh, thank you. And then B7C. Okay. So what we will then have to the tobacco ones we start with the 7C. So you will then, I think the sequence of our documentation will be C, will be B, C, D. Just want us to be in line with all the documents we have in fact. B for Berry, 7B, 7C, 7D. 7B. The one we amended for the portfolio. 7C are the actual amendments from the M4B. 7D is now the amended version of the M4B. We are all in fine. So thank you very much, the professor. The documentation state law advisor that take us through. By the bringer. to close. I don't know if I may close.
I think let's deal with this controversial. So let's finish with this one and go to another. Are we all together? If they close one, it just said, is hereby amended by the advertisement in relation to. Did it say substitution of the definition and of the following definition and then make the definition? Alright? I'm putting it to the house.
The House will recall that there was never any amendment to that. So it would be an error by the principle.
And Bogile proposes agreement to the amendment from the M4B in B. In B7C. Honorable Mandela agrees. All agree. Thank you very much. We're done with one.
Again, Chair, the amendment that was proposed by the NCOP is nothing more than what the House, that is, the House, sort of agreed to. But somehow there was a mistake that is in the House will recall that there were sort of amendments that were done to close two where we omitted some clauses there, and then in that process the numbering shifted. So the clause 8, which is dealing with the penalties, which reflect all those clauses, the numbering there was affected. So this clause, this correction, which is done by clause 8, is to correct the correct number to reflect exactly which clause may be contravened, as opposed now to the clauses that were in the bill, which do not tally with what the House sort of tried to amend. So that is the correction with those with the numbering of the clauses that may be that are prohibited to be contravened. That to make them in tandem with the prohibition and the penalty. So that is the. I hope I've clarified that. I don't know if there is still any clarity that needs to be done.
Just to get clarity, can we see in front of us these clauses 2, 5, 3, 8, 9, A or B, 10, da 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 da? Because if a mistake was made once, how does one know you're not going to, somebody's not going to make it again? It would be nice to just cast our eyes over them. Or are they not here? You know, the tobacco lobby is a funny crowd. They'll find the fact that we didn't apply our minds properly. They'll go to court and they'll hold up the bill. Because that's the way they are. I'm just scared.
You got a question? No. She says that we need to understand exactly the areas of commission, am I right? For instance, you will see in the BB 7B, it says 2.5. In the amendment, it says 2.5, 3.8. 0.38, and then this one jumps to 9. And yet, if you remember, there was 3.8, close 3.8, there was 9.8, and all those things. It's just the number. Those were the things that were on wholesaling, on other things. Remember that aspect. It's just the numbering that was omitted in the now, the consequential thinking, what you agreed in terms of penalties in the previous clauses, into now encapsulating them in the composite numbering of all those things in one section under clause 8.
Chair, obviously you've looked at it, so one will put one trust in you. If you think it's safe, it's just a technical amendment, and we've already discussed it, then we'll go with it. It could be a long process to get the bill back to go through all of those clauses. So, go for it.
If just to allay the fears of the members, and just if you can just, if you have anyone has got B bills. 7B. Yeah. You just turn on page 5. On page 7, I'm sorry, member. When you look at line 16, then it would be, and that's affecting an example. Those sections there that says any person who contravenes or fails to comply with section 25 on line 16, ma'am. Oh, okay. And then see subsection 9. That subsection 9 doesn't tell you of which section. And then there is a 10A and B, and you go to 10, there's no A and B. So, yeah. So that referencing is not correct, hence it's being corrected here.
Proposal from Dr. Rabinovitz to endorse clause 8 as amended by the NOP.
Okay, I'm not against the proposal I want to second, but I must admit I've been looking at this very, very closely since I sat down in my office. But I fail to see any difference between C and D. So if one looks at the and C is the one that the NCOP has amended, and this is D that I've been referred to now, but it looks exactly the same. There doesn't appear to be any difference.
We dealt with D, 7B. We dealt with the bill up until the end process, which was 7B, where all the amendments that we're dealing with were then incorporated, and then the resultant bill became 7B, B7B. And then it went to the NOP. Then the NOP looked into the amendments, and then came out and identified those amendments in B7C. Having agreed on those amendments, then the final version of the bill now from the NOP becomes B7B. So that's why there will be no difference. Are we all together? Okay, thanks. There are enough of these members to agree on clause 8 as amended. It's more than on the numbering. Agree to it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
On page 7, in line 21, omit 8, subsection 8 and substitute with 7. Reason being that 8 is there in subsection 2 above, and 7 is the one supposed to be on that line. Not 8, ma'am, because 8 is already catered for. No check.
I put the amendment from the NSOP clause 1, clause 8, 1, 1, 2 for adoption. Agreed to. So we therefore endorse the amendments from the NSOP without amendment. Am I right? So we have considered and we agree with the report of the portfolio committee and pursue as that. I then and then honorable members, do we want first to want debate this amendment? Now especially my whip here, I think all must guide me. Do you think they need for a statement on this? Thank you very much, Honorable Tunisia, for your guidance here. Thank you. So we now go to the medicine. Thank you very much, State Clause Advocacy, for your guidance in this regard. Now, where are you? Thank you very much. We're done with the tobacco. Dealing with, firstly, let's deal with the paperwork. It's Medicines and Related Substance Amendment Bill. We have that one. There we will have B44. Do we have that one? B44. No, not D, just B44. Sorry. B44? No, not just B44, no B. then we'll have B44B, and then we'll have the N4B. B44 will be the one as introduced in the National Assembly, Section 75. Remember that one. And then B44B is as presented by the Portfolio Committee. So you only have B44. B, that's fine. Okay. Let's deal with your B44. So you have B44B. We're leaving that one now. You have a proposed amendment to the Magistrates in Relation Substance Amendment B208, B44, B208. These are from the N2OP. Are we all together? State to advisor, why am I telling you to go out here? The state to advisor is going to guide us now if we all have the documentation from clause 1. So you use B44B as your reference, because that's the bill you pass as the NA for the government.
Thank you, Chairman. If we can start then on the amendment in clause 1, on page 2, after line 21, to insert the following definition, advisory committee, which means the advisory committee established in terms of section 4. The purpose of this amendment that the NCOP proposed that we still need an advisory committee to ensure that the independence of the authority. This will remember from the beginning the debate about why the structure or how is it going to function. Is it independent if it's just the CEO? So the proposal was made along those lines. It's what they were prepared to leave on. At least it's not that the authority is the CEO only. So they said at least there must be an advisory committee. So that was the purpose of the amendment. Do apologies okay. So that's the definition.
From finance, Department of Finance, and they, including most of the other people who came, were very worried about the fact that there was no overarching authority, that we'd taken it away from a council, that we didn't have a board the way there was a board in the SAFRA bill that was ditched, that here there was just this structure that had no structure. So we were so excited, I think, about taking out those impractical clauses which would have let the minister decide whether everything had the public interest. But I think we decided to let this go. If you remember, the ISP was very worried about that. And finance was worried. And all the people who made submissions were very worried. I think big business would have been happy to let it go, because big business is always happy that they've got lots of clout, they can get to the department, they can sort of get things done their way. But with these amendments that are brought in, we're looking after the little guys, we're looking after the people who this legislation is supposed to protect. So I think they're very good amendments, and I certainly would like to support them from our perspective.
With the advisory committee. How does it then relate the advisory committee and the CEO? Advisory committee and the CEO, how does that relate?
terms of funds and terms,
yeah.
You know, the advisor of the committee is going to advise the CEO and the minister in terms of governance of the authority and other related matters related to this act. All
of
our
find somewhere, those functions.
Yes, we go, it's in the clause 4. Thank you very much, Chapter 7. Can I get clarity here? According to this amendment, they are saying the advisory committee means the advisory committee established in terms of Section 4. Where are we going to get this Section 4 because it was repealed? No, no, according to the amendment that we made, we said we are repealing Section 4, 5, 6, 7.
The next page, new clause. We'll have to come back to that one. But this one is just taking us to the initial kicking. Honorable, what has
get clarity on the matter. You must deal with clause 4, go through it, and see what the gist of it is, with the advisory committee, then come back a little and see if we support the actual definition, you know, whether or not we support the advisory committee. I think we should go through it first and see what we're talking about, what we're supporting, and then start from the beginning.
It's fine. To make things easier.
I think it's going to help on the question Honorable Manana was actually asking. Why don't we go through the new clause? Then we'll come back to the clause. So that's it. We have a principled agreement whether we need an advisory committee or not. If yes, then we then come to the clause advisory committee definition. If no, then the red box comes. There's a proposal agreed to. I think it's a good proposal. Thank you. Let's go to new clause 4. The following be the new clause, substitution of section 4 of F01 of 1965. The following section is hereby substituted for section 4 of the Principal Act Advisory Committee. One need to read the state clause, other can read and take up through that.
The heading of the clause is Advisory Committee. Sub 1. The Minister shall establish an advisory committee to advise or act as a consultative body for the Minister and the Authority on matters concerning corporate governance of the Authority. Sub 2. The Advisory Committee contemplated in Subsection 1 shall consist of not more than 5 persons who shall be appointed from persons outside the authority. 3. The minister must appoint a chairperson for the advisory committee from among the members after having consulted the members. 4. The members of the advisory committee shall A. be appointed for a term not exceeding 5 years, which is renewable. B. be fit and proper persons. C. and have the appropriate expertise, skills, knowledge, or experience, and the ability to perform effectively as a member. Sub 5, the advisory committee shall determine procedures for its meetings. 6, an advisory committee member who has a personal or financial interest in any matter on which the advisory committee gives advice must disclose that interest, and where the advisory committee deems it necessary, withdraw from the discussion. 7, the authority must remunerate a member mentioned above and compensate the member for expenses as determined by the minister after consultation with the Minister of Finance. 8. The advisory committee or its members shall not interfere with the powers assigned to the chief executive officer or the authority in terms of this act. In so far as those powers relate to safety, efficacy, and quality of products, medical devices, or IVDs.
Rabinovitz was saying that you recall this debate. We also recall the debate on page 5, line 12, the repealing of all those things. There's now the view that let's build the aspect of X01 and then can define in this way. How many times is it renewable? Something about 10. It says the 4A be appointed for a term not exceeding 5 years, which is renewable. Indefinite renewability or renewable once, twice, three times. Do we agree on the principal question that we need to use particular terms? And thereafter we can go into the details. There's a proposal to agree. And that is the other people coming. And then the question is that the renewability, the term thereof, will be determined by regulation. What is going to conduct 10 minutes conversation? I can say. Other questions with you?
Say, if you cast your mind back to the presentations and submissions you got, most people were in favor of having some form of oversight front body that could, would play an oversight role in the authority, so the authority wasn't a law unto itself, and there was that balance. Remember, most organizations supported that. And we, as the Honorable Doctor mentioned, we got a bit carried away in deleting clauses, and we took out the advisory committee that would act as a medium between the department and the authority. So we fully support the inclusion here. Obviously, the NCOPs applied their minds. And I'm sure if the department and the ministry had had any problems with this, we would have, we would know by now, or you'd certainly say in team members would have known by now. And I think what it does show, the maturity, it shows that, maybe there's a new thinking in the department, the new minister is prepared to have an advisory committee. No, I think we must look at that. Whereby not all power is vested in one particular body or one particular person, and there's checks and balances, and I think it's very important.
Thanks. I don't know about that, but you know the bodies of our portfolio control, no minister ever imposed his or her views on us. You know that historically, on anything we've dealt with as a committee, especially since this chair has been seated here. That one I can say with a bit of firmness in authority. No one can actually impose this view on me. Yeah. But the point you are raising, I think members must consider it, and I'm not sure you department, fortunately that we all just separated, and you know they never impose on anything. We fight with them on a number of things, but I haven't heard them saying anything. that is it, may you also have taken also the word from the chair of the consequences of whatever we do moving forward, especially from this level. But members, I'm the chair. Honorable Matele.
Chairperson, I think principally this proposal is sounds like you, Master Kayla. Yes, Chair, but principally one can find common ground with regard to this proposed new clause. I think principally what we would not want to have seen is a body that impedes the function of the authority that can create in any unnecessary delays in the core task of the authority. The proposal here is saying that this advisory committee will advise the authority. So certainly one is quite able to live with this, and that I would want to venture from the ANC side that we definitely propose the for a second honorable voters proposal for accepting this new clause for chair. Thank you.
There's a proposal agreed to from all sides. Am I right? Thank you. So the chair will save himself for any comment thereof. It takes us now, I think, from your advice, we can go back now. So we are agreed to the proposal. Thank you very much, Honorable Waters, Honorable Mandela. So we go back to one.
Just before we go back to one, if you can just see at the end of the new advisory committee, which is a select, there's a clause 4. If I may answer the question you've asked, whether we're not repealing clause 4. That amendment says on page 5 and 9, 11, omit 4, is removing 4 from the list of the sections we are repealing. Let's go. When we're on page 3 of the list of amendments,
need for the advisory committee agreed to, and then we go to page on line 4 in on page 4 in line 7 after established to insert as an organ of state but outside the republic. That is page 4 line 7. Where is that? Clause 2.
Yes, I think clause 2. What? Yes, what happened there? They just needed to add something to the sentence after established. Clear out that the authority is an organ of state, but it is outside the public service. So it was just an extension of that sentence, nothing new introduced for more clarity. For sale. Can I help be clear with them when you say for the select quality services? If members in that way, we go as a state to advise us, then we advise and then we are told what needs to be added. If it, there's nothing constitutional or legal wrong with it, there's no harm to adding details. As I remember, that also relates to the proposal for accountability and for financial control. It has to do with who has authority to sign documents, to rent rooms, to employ staff, and so on and so forth. And it was shown by finance that this would be a more efficient way of establishing the body if it were outside the public service, but still an organ of state.
Of course, one is constrained, as I say, by the earlier comments I've made. The South African Health Products Regulatory Authority is hereby established. One, this authority is a juristic person. We all understand that. Two, subject to the PFMA. Am I right? If it's subject to the PFMA, there's a particular role of the state. No? And public service accountability measures. And yet we then again say is accountable to the minister and shall perform functions as conferred to by this act. It's a public, it's an organ of state outside public service. Read in conjunction with AB. That's why I was asking this question. Like, okay. There's a proposal, members. I'm putting clause one. That is point one. Am I right to say that? Clause two. I'm so sorry. Thank you very much. Are we all together? Sorry? Clause 2. Do you have seen clause 2 in both? 1. On page 4. Can you go to page 4? Page 4 on B44B. Yeah? I'm just guiding you now. B44B. And then line 7, that is after 5 above, you see, then you see 7. The authority is hereby established as an organ of state but outside the public service. That's what it says. Are we all together now? That's what I'm putting to you. Agreed? Agreed. Thank you very much. We agree. Thank you very much. Proceed. Page 4 in line 9, after persons to say and first end. Line, page 4 on line 9. Where's end now? Honorable Dr. Rabinovitz.
Somebody's made a spelling mistake there and said persons with an S instead of person. Because on page 9, it talks about, in line 9, it talks about a juristic person, singular. So I think it should read in our amendment after person to insert and. Then we would say the authority is a juristic person and subject to the Public Finance Management Act.
And then we say after juristic person and sub, is that say or not that's not available?
Yeah.
So we'll have and.
No, they take out the and in 9/11. So the authority is juristic person and subject to private finance management act 199, act 199.
Okay.
Accountable to and reports to the minister.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You can say. Are we all following here, eh? Thank you very much, Dr. Rabinovitz.
They want to leave our paragraph 3 because it's not accountable reporting to the minister. It's now accountable to this new committee. That's why C is taken out. It's not just accountable to the minister. It's got this accountability to this new clause 4, to this new advisory committee and the minister. There's really more accountability.
Now, can you switch off the mic?
Sorry?
Thank you very much, and then the chair can take over. On page 4, after to insert end, agree to? On page 4, line 11, omit end, and to substitute. What? And to substitute. Full stop. And then accountable to the minister. And then page 4, line 12 to omit, paragraph C. Page 4, line 13 to add the following of the authority may to omit C. Because they already is an organ of state and public service. Am I right? Said Lord, right?
I can correct her, but there's an omission of paragraph C, and then there are further subsections that are added. If you may notice that the amendment, it says on page 4, after line 13, to add the following subsection. The authority may inquire into, report on, and make recommendations to the minister on any matter relating to the implementation or application of this act. This is still accountability. Then part 5 says, in performing its functions, the authority shall act without fear, favor, or prejudice. So this is replacing paragraph 3.
Why this is nicer is because instead of just saying accountable to, which kind of you think, well, how do you make somebody accountable to something? We all like the idea. But this spells it out. It provides the detail. It puts flesh on the bone by enabling that the authority inquires, reports, makes recommendations to the minister, and in doing so, acts without fear, favor, or prejudice. So, I propose that we support it.
Okay, I just wanted to point out that in this amendment, it says the authority may inquire into. So it changes from the original that was basically being accountable. So it's a standard accountability. Now it's may, which means that there may be an option of not here. Yeah.
Just a bit of clarity, to get a sense of whom the CEO is accountable to, whom the CEO reports to, because the advisory committee is on corporate issues as an advisory committee. And then it says we remove the accountability as well. And then says the authority may inquire, and it's a may. So if the authority feels there's no need, they may not inquire to and report and do whatever. So I'm a little confused as to where the accountability lies and whom does the CEO actually report to.
Everything this amendment was drafted by the department, so I'm surprised by the clarity questions now coming my way. The CMCLP instructed the department to come up with this subsection, so they're supposed to be giving the committee clarity.
Dr. Rabinovich is coming back. She's just sorting out a personal problem. The apology was conferred to the chair. But you are there, but she supports all the amendments. Thank you very much. Members, that's why I think it's very good for the state of Africa here and the department. Let's take this thing step by step. You have observed the earlier comments by the chair on this section and on the other. And the topic thing I said on the advisory committee, but we agreed. Now, where were we? We agreed on 2 to insert and. We agreed on 3 to omit and. Am I right? We agreed on 4 in line 12 to omit paragraph C, accountable to and report to the minister. Omit that one. Sorry.
Okay, I'm saying we still have to discuss this because. Oh, I'm sorry. Chair, I'm saying my paragraph C, accountable to and report to the minister. My feeling is that we leave it as it is. Agree, because. Oh, Dr. Belovas, if I hear her correctly, she was saying we should also add advisory committee. Now, functions of the advisory committee are stated, so they have nothing to do. They can't, account to the advisory committee. We must leave it as it is. That's my, yeah.
not accountable to anyone. It needs to be accountable somewhere, of which is the minister. Otherwise, I think she needs to remain as it is.
Can the department clarify the issue and why they wanted it withdrawn in the first place? Thank you. Chair, we didn't propose it. These were amendments from the NCOP that we were asked to redraft. As I remember the discussion in the NCOP, the main concern was that they wanted to insert the point 5 of saying that the authority must act without fear, favor, or prejudice. And 4, actually, the only thing it does is it says may, which is that's what I was pointing out, a significant change from the previous version where the authority had to account to the minister. So, technically speaking, the authority could say to a minister that we decided that we may not account to you on this matter. And technically it would be correct if you insert the word may. So I think that is a significant change from the previous version. And that's the issue of potential concern.
You see, the may here, for number 4, that is the authority they inquire to, is because on clause 1.1 is an organ of state but outside the public sector. So it takes it away from anything, hence there, outside. And thereafter, you then do all these other things. You are creating a body. I can't understand this body being created. But you see, the problem, the first I was saying that if we don't agree with these things, it's going to go through a long process. Let's look into the weight of the diversion. Otherwise, we'll have to go to the mediation. I don't know how long it is, right? No.
Should not really
be 75 won't go. By the way, this is 75, you remember. It's not really right. Yeah, thank you. That's a very good point, Honorable Domin. Okay, let's cut back then. I think it helps us this point here. Because there are certain fundamental worries here at the church this year, guided by yourself. As I read some of the things and the consequences of what we seek to do. Beginning from this, I believe our committee. There was a particular, if you look into the memorandum of the bid, for instance, it was saying the financial implications of this bid, 50% from the state, I think something like that. And now we're putting an advisory committee. They have been putting this advisory committee, get remuneration. It adds on the financial implications. But we have passed that one as a point. Then we then came to say, now this is an organ of state, but outside the public sector. And if I remember, this is what we discussed quite elaborated last time, why this body must be firstly a juristic person, be governed by the PFMA, and also be given certain powers in terms of, and the powers are defined in terms of all of us dealt with this bill in terms of this particular act. So if we so agree, it was us will agree, advise us, and that's one. So members, you will have to guide us. Honorable Waters said we agree as an organ, not state, but outside the public sector. Am I right? We agree with that. What could be the reason, just to flesh up from what the chair says?
The authority is outside the public service, and it has, from what I've said, to check scarce skills here. We've got to compete with the private sector. So I think it gives us the authorities a lot more flexibility to work with us at the end of the public sector. That's how I see it. I may be wrong.
And then let's now go to number two, point number two. Passing and to insert end. It will mean now we don't agree with insertion of end. It should read the geology person, subject is the PFMA, and accountable to the minister. Agree to? Are we all following the chair? Am I hearing off?
Sir, you're not
allowed
to be clear that the omission of paragraph 3, so the committee is not accepting that amendment.
I agree with that, but I just want to confirm, are we going to keep paragraph 5 in? Where it's just, no, but I just want to get clear before I agree to keep clause 3. Because I think paragraph 5 would ensure that while the authority is accountable to the minister, they may not act without fear or favour. So.
So we retain C, am I right? On Abmanana? And then on page 4, line 13, to add the following subsection, the authority may inquire into, report on, and make recommendation to the minister on any matter related to implementation or application of the act. Agree to? That was the one who said that the problem. Am I right, Mandy?
We don't have a
copy. On our manana.
Putting that in a law. Is there any reason?
I'm saying that it must. We must agree with what this says, because this authority must ensure that it deals with the matters of the safety, quality, and efficacy of drugs. And that particular function, they must actually do that function without fear. What is it say? Fear, favor, or prejudice. So it doesn't do any harm. Agreed to. Thank you very much. Number four, I think there's a point raised by Honorable Mana. I think the department will also raise some concern. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chair. With paragraph 6 there, I think this section is a little bit redundant, number 4. But we agree with the finance department.
maintain paragraph C accountable to and report to the minister. Let's do away with 4. Let's retain 5. So it will be C, and then D will be your 5. Am I right? Because that's your numbering. Without VFA, if I said that would be your D. And then the authority may exercise the powers and shall perform the function conferred to the chamber of respect. And then it will read that way. So your VFA will be your C. So it will read like this. Juristic person, such as PFMA, accompanied with the minister, acts without fear, favor, or prejudice, exercise powers, and shall perform functions as assigned to by this act. That's how it's going to be written.
And
PFMA,
I suppose it will be a sub 4.
Clause 3, member. Are we all ready? Honorable Chairmanana, thank you very much. On page 4, line 24, to omit committed. What is to omit committed after the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa? Clause 3, page 4, line 24, has been convicted of an offence committed after the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1993 took effect and sentenced imprisonment the first option of a fine. Omit that. Again, you see that people don't know, don't understand why always this particular clause must be inserted. Because there are certain things that might have been seen as a crime before this particular constitution was created. But subsequent to a number of the processes in terms of the new Republic of South Africa, certain crimes that were crimes are no longer crimes. That's why this particular provision must be kept. Am I right?
Correct.
We didn't propose any of these amendments, but I can just give you insight on why the NCOP wanted it removed. Their argument was that if there were crimes committed prior to that period, and they were, for example, I think one member raised the issue of rape, a person was convicted of rape, then that person, you are basically excusing them the way it's structured currently. And that's why they asked for that part. That was the logic I remember. That's what we understand as well. So.
And all the powers is identified in the advisory committee. Clause 4, to omit 4. All together, we're omitting 4 because already 4 were bringing it back in terms of the advisory committee members. Now we're all together, so there will be no 4 there. Clause 5. On page 5, line 24, to omit the second 4. Where is that now? Line 12. To omit what? submit, is it the second form or the first form? Where is that at? Yes? We're on page 5. Close 4, no? Point 1, no? Close 4.1 on page 5, line 11. So omit 4. Are we seeing that?
Yes.
Page 5, line 12, to omit the second 4. I'm saying to omit the 4. Where is the second 4? No, it says second 4. Oh, thank you very much, Honorable Langini.
Can I?
Please, thank you.
This is clause 4. So there's a 4. So when you're talking to the printers, you must indicate which 4 must fall away between the 4 for the clause and the 4 after section. So this is the language when you're communicating to the printers, which what must be removed.
Page 15, line 33. Page 15, line 33. To omit CEO and to substitute minister. Should the chief executive and the appellant fail to resolve the matter as contemplated in 2, the appellant shall within 30 days of being notified by the CEO of the failure to resolve the matter and upon payment of the prescribed fee, request the CEO in writing to convene an appeal committee. Now they say they must request the minister to convene an appeal committee. Before you respond, are you all together, Honorable Water? Okay, thanks.
The issue as I was raised yesterday was whether the process is going to be fair because the CEO is party to the appeal, the CEO is the authority, but then the CEO appoints 2 members and the appellant appoints 2 members, but on top of that, the CEO also appoints the chairperson. So that was the issue, whether will that be fair to the process. So the issue then that was proposed to make sure that the process is neutral, the committee is neutral, the independence of the appeal committee.
The last time we talked about this, we had stated that we don't mind the chairperson because this is a lawyer, but we would prefer the CEO to be the person that appoints the 2 people that represent experts, that represent the authority, and the appellant also appoints 2 people to represent themselves. The reason being that it's 2 and 2, so it's balanced. The reason being that this is science and it will depend on each case who the top experts in the country or even outside the country will be relevant to the case. Now, if we remove this and give it to the minister, our anxiety is will the minister be in a position to be able to identify the correct expert for the case in court? Now, if the fear is about the imbalance between 3 and 2, that is fine, but we could solve that by saying the minister must appoint the chairperson who is a lawyer and the minister has all the competence to appoint a lawyer, but we are worried about the science.
Well, see, the first principle of allowing, or you can't have, and I agree with the thinking, you can't have a place now. If the appearance of the CEO failed to resolve the matter that the appealant then ask the CEO to convene an appeal committee. That doesn't make sense. Because if you and I have a dispute, then I have to ask you to serve an appeal committee. So it makes sense that the minister then would say, or give the go-ahead to have the appeals committee. I also had problems, and I'm sure the doctor did as well, with regard to the CEO being able to put three and the other person two members of the committee. So I actually agree with the proposal made that we still allow the appealant to appoint two members of the committee, and the CEO to appoint two, and the minister would then appoint the chairperson. I think that would balance it out. Thanks, Jim.
Chairperson is not to repeat what Mr. Waters said, but I agree with his thinking. But now, I can't see that the minister who's responsible for appointing an appeals committee is going to appoint people who don't have technical expertise, and that the CEO of the authority will appoint people with technical expertise. After all, the CEO was appointed by the minister herself. So there's some conflict here which makes it necessary to have an appeal, that makes the calling of an appeals committee necessary. The appeal is within the authority. So it definitely makes sense to me that the minister should appoint the people, and I think that balancing of two just creates deadlock. I think the minister's just got to appoint people who've got capacity in that area and appoint an appeal committee. That's my thinking. So I think that we should... I think the amendment is a good amendment.
Honourable, what I've said, but the two will be from the CEO and the two from the appellant as well. They'll be the one with the lawyer and the chairperson appointed by the minister. So there'll always be a deadlock breaking mechanism. Now there's no equilibrium in terms of the decision making in this regard. That's what he was actually saying. I don't think there's a
question. See, I just have to add from what Mandisa was saying, that the current situation where the minister is appointing the appeal committee has serious problems, because the minister doesn't necessarily have knowledge of all of the people that are necessary. That causes undue delays in the process, one, and two, the people that are then appointed may not be the appropriate people for the issue that's attempted to be resolved. So I think our current experience suggests that it's really problematic to suggest that the minister must appoint these technical people who the minister may not have knowledge of, and the minister only has a short time to do that. So by the time he or she applies his mind to who would be the most appropriate person, the timeline would have gone through with that. And that would be another problem, because then the issue would not be resolved timely.
Who decides that the minister appoints the chairperson with the law? Of course, the scientific people to adjudicate on the knowledge of the efficacy, quality, and safety are people knowledgeable. And the minister may not have all the time. That's how we deal with all those things. How do we do it in now, the amendment?
Unfortunately, at this stage, we can't do it. We can either reject or accept the amendment from the NCOP. Unless then we're going to have to go back again to the NCOP for that particular amendment only. It's a bit late. Yes, if you reject the amendment from the NCOP, the position is going to be the CEO will remain appointing three people and the appellant is appointing two people.
Why do do this until further notice. Because they are indicating that there are so many delays where the minister is supposed to deal with this matter.
I think in terms of the act, the expectation and the responsibility lies with the CEO to advise the minister appropriately in relation to who are the most competent people to be appointed if necessary. So the bill is very explicit about the fact that the CEO must advise, account the minister. So this is indeed part and parcel of such accountability and responsibility,
See, the quantity we are in, Honourable Madele, see that we accept what the NCOP says on floor 30, or we leave as is in the field. Those are the only two. We can't do anything new. Any new thing takes us back to a process. That's why I think Honourable Madele was saying the 933, where it says you request the minister instead of the CEO. So that from the you are appealing, should the CEO and the appealant fail to resolve the matter. So the CEO and the appealant have failed to resolve the matter. So now go to another person to adjudicate, in this case the minister. And then I think that's what Honourable Waters was suggesting and the state was by. So this is what this NCOP point one amendment on floor 30 says. And then it should then take us to the next one. I think that maybe let's agree with what Honourable the Minister and the Watcher also. Agree to? And then page point two on page 15, 939. To omit
at the same time.
time, because if the minister is gathering the, is convening the appeal committee, then the members of the appeal committee are going to decide. So if the two are nominated by the appellant and two by the CEO, then the minister, what is the role of the minister really? It's upon the chair. Then if we're doing that, we're not accepting the amendment from the NCOP.
Now we actually
make a new amendment here. Two of them, we are omitting now 39. It's going to create a problem. That's what we're doing. So, I'm not sure people get the thrust of this argument. A very fundamental, serious argument.
Just as when we regret the amendment from the NCOP.
And that, which ones do you reject? The last one. I wanted clarity on which amendments were being rejected. And which amendments were being rejected, and the honourable member said to me it's the last one. So I understand now what you're thinking. Thank you, Jim. The member said that they reject, he rejects point two, clause 30.2. Oh, rejecting it. No, I thought that it was a good idea to have a committee. And I thought we could have perhaps amended in a different way. But we can't. It's the same process. It's the same process, yeah.
Honourable, what I said on the first amendment, the CEO and the CEO, we agree the minister must be there. So we are going to say the appellant shall within 30 days of being notified by the CEO of the failure to resolve the matter, and upon payment of supervisory, request the minister in writing to convene the appeal committee. So that you are agreed by the decision of the authority, that is the CEO. So you request the minister in writing. So on whatever, let's agree with that amendment. Am I right? Tick. Then let's come to two. Then two now, the appeal committee contemplated in three, it is now set. And it shall comprise of the chairperson, knowledgeable in law, two from the appellant, two from the CEO. Now this amendment, it says let's omit that section. And Honor Banana says no, let's retain that section. That's what I want you to comment on. Am I right?
Correct.
See, you mentioned if we don't accept these amendments, a whole new process starts all over again. But if we've accepted replacing CEO with minister, that's agreed. But if we reject the second amendment, what are the legal consequences of that? There's no legal
consequence.
No,
there's no consequence, as long as you're not proposing anything new.
Then I would suggest, I would agree that we scrap the second amendment. That's my proposal.
Fine, Chair, because the implication is going to be that the minister is going to assign to each other.
All this hard working state law advisor and very thorough in your work. Thank you very much, Department and SOP. Thank you very much, members of parliament. We have concluded. So, it's a statement. Am I right? It just be a statement, not debate. Am I right? Just to.
How long do we have in the statement, sir?
No, just the chair will make a statement. Okay, everybody.
No, the chair. I do think we need at least.
I don't know. I must.
This is the thing. This is the big change. The public should be aware of this big change. Major, major change. I definitely think we should have a short debate. Can we have declarations? Can we make declarations? We can just allow for declarations.
Yeah. I don't think it's possible to declaration anyway. The solve last in the year. Declarations of 2 minutes.
First light is ready when? Outside.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's happening? What about to buy up the game? Konomunya will call me here now. What's our first? So, you know, my dream. I'm not saying ENC open Matibana, but ANC Matibana song ENC open. Okay.